Hey, y'all out there, this is Bo Billingsley, the voice of Jet Black and the Fourth Raikage. You're listening to The Night Nerd. Stay tuned, because all kinds of good things will be happening.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. Last Sunday, the 5th, was Neil Armstrong's birthday. He is one of the most amazing people in history, and mostly because he was an astronaut. And so all week we've been looking at astronauts and their importance in pop culture and, you know, just the roles that they play. It's actually pretty impressive when you look at it. But today I thought we kind of dial it in and look at the man himself, look at Mr. Armstrong and everything, you know, he's accomplished, and it's really impressive. So first, Neil Alden Armstrong was born August 5th, 1930 in Ohio, a small town called Wapakoneta. I practice real hard to make sure I didn't mess that up. It's where he was born, and he moved around a lot. 16 towns by the time he was 14. And his dad was an auditor for the government, so they had to move all around Ohio looking at things. And he developed his love for flight pretty early in life. When he was 2 years old, his dad took him to the Cleveland Air Races. And then when he was about six, he had his first flight on an airplane. And it was at this young age that he, you know, just started becoming obsessed, really, with the thought of flight and travel and everything it can do. He started taking flying lessons in high school and actually got his student flight certificate on his 16th birthday, and then soloed just a little bit later. So he actually had his pilot's license before he had his driver's license. If that doesn't show you like how much he wanted to fly and be up in the air, I don't know what would. And after this, you know, he graduated high school and everything, and then went on to study aeronautical engineering at Purdue. And even though he had been accepted to MIT, like, his family talked him out of it, so that way he could kind of stay closer to home and still get a good education and everything. And as part of his education, he signed up for the Navy, where this deal called the Holloway Plan, where he went to school for 2 years, and then he had 2 years of flight training, and then a year of service in the Navy. And then he went back to finish his final 2 years of his bachelor's degree. And so he, you know, had that exposure to military and the ordnance and things that goes. He would, when he was in the Navy, he worked on aircraft carriers and everything, stationed all around the world. And he is actually the youngest officer to be in this jet squadron. He was, which is a huge, you know, thing. And that just shows, again, like, how dedicated he was to this craft. He was in the Korean War, ran some escort missions and things like that. He got shot at and had to do, like, an emergency landing that cut off about a yard of the wing of his plane and everything. He had to eject out of it just to be safe. And even then, he had planned to eject over water, but wind and factors and things ended up landing on land. The wind blew him back. And so I don't think they ever found the wreckage of his plane either. That'd be one for the books. But all in all, he flew almost 80 missions, and he received the Air Medal, 2 gold stars, the Korean Service Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, the United Nations Korea Medal, and all sorts of other things. And then while he went back to college, this is where some stuff gets interesting. Because I'm sure by now a lot of people kind of have this idea of what Armstrong was and how he did. But so he was in a fraternity, and he had decent grades, 4.8 out of 6. But while he was in school, he wrote and directed 2 musicals. 2 musicals. So not only is this guy an amazing aviator and stuff, but he does musicals also. One of them was Snow White and the 7 Dwarfs, which they borrowed, I guess we'll say, a lot from the Disney movie. And the second one was Land of Edgelock, and that was an old Gilbert and Sullivan one. And when I read that, you know, when I learned about that, that just kind of blew my mind. Like, here, it was already impressive all the stuff this guy had done, and then he just added that onto it as well, you know. He was also the baritone player in Purdue's All-American Marching Band. And, yeah, just all sorts of crazy things. So he graduated with his Bachelor of Science in Aeronautical Engineering. And it wouldn't be until 1970 that he got his Master's in Aerospace Engineering. And then people give him a bunch of doctorates. But that's just crazy. So this guy, at this point in his life, you know, we're looking at 1955. The guy's 25 years old. He's got his pilot license super young. Directed all these plays and did all these things. Like, it's just, I don't know, super, super amazing and impressive, if you ask me. And then you get into his time as a test pilot and stuff later on in life. And when he's a test pilot, he's doing all sorts of things. He wanted to be with, like, the National Advisory Committee on Aeronautics, but there weren't any openings, so he got a job with, like, Boeing and some private places. And this would kind of come back to help slash harm him later on, but we'll get to that. I even flew with Chuck Yeager at one time, and during all of this, you know, he's just doing crazy stuff and crashing planes and these supersonic jet planes. He was the forefront. You know, we talked about the Hal Jordan model, and this man was Hal Jordan. And then you would have what he's best known for is being an astronaut. And when they first decided they're going to start sending people into space, they decided that they were only going to have military test pilots. Well, since Armstrong was a civilian test pilot, he didn't make the cut. So, but they did kind of bring him in as a computer noises, as a consultant, and kind of get some stuff ready. And then for the second group, and that was for Project Mercury, for Project Gemini, they decided they're going to open it up to qualified, which I think is a broad, you know, they can use that however they want, qualified civilian test pilots. And so, you know, he went in, he applied, and he was the first one to be selected of the new 9, is what they were called. And there was another guy, Elliot C., who was a civilian pilot as well. But interesting enough, when he applied, he actually missed the deadline. So he wasn't even going to get to be it. But he has a guy who he used to work with when he was younger, named Dick Day, saw his application and, like, slid it into the pile so that way it got accepted on time. And he would go on, he was on the backup crew for the Gemini 5. He was on the Gemini 8. And then the Apollo missions came about, and that's when he went to the moon, the Apollo 11 mission, where it was him, Michael Collins, and Buzz Aldrin. They went to the moon, and supposedly, now there's been, over the years, there's been a lot of dispute as to things all that Armstrong and Aldrin and everybody has said at these times, but supposedly Armstrong said he thought it had about a 50-50 chance of landing, so he didn't prepare any speeches or anything. But, and even then, his famous speech, you know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. NASA and Armstrong say that static blurs out the A, but people say that it's, he just forgot to say it, and to the point where later on in life he's like, you know, I hope history forgives me, because it was kind of a big thing, and if I forgot to say step for a man and I said step for man, then who really cares? And yeah, so he's the first man to walk on the moon. He set foot on there, walked around for about 20 minutes or so before Aldrin joined him. And then they came back to Earth, and, you know, your life's never the same after that. But he would go on in later years. He'd be a teacher at the University of Cincinnati. He did some more stuff for NASA over the years as a consultant and all sorts of things. One of the coolest things, I think, and this was kept a secret for a while, in 85, there was this expedition guy named Mike Dunn, who wanted to take the greatest explorers to the North Pole. So he took Armstrong, he took Edmund Hillary, who was the first guy to, he was in that first crew that reached the top of Mount Everest, Steve Fawcett, who was the first person to fly solo, nonstop, around the world in balloon, and Patrick Morrow, who's the first person to climb the Seven Summits, and they all went to the North Pole. And Armstrong said he wanted to see what it looked like from ground level and not just from the moon, is why he went. After that, he kind of retired, you know, into civilian life and still made public appearances. He did a lot of stuff with the Eagle Scouts because he was big in the Boy Scouts when he was younger and really his whole life. And just, but, you know, wanted to stay out of the public eye a little bit, not to the point that he was a recluse, but just wanted to lay low. And then in 2012, he had a bypass surgery to relieve some blocked arteries, and he developed complications from it and died on August 25th of that year. And, you know, he was buried at sea because of his Navy background and everything. And yeah, it's was a big loss. He's a guy who, you can travel around the country and find all sorts of schools and libraries and things named after him. Got all sorts of lifetime achievement awards and just really phenomenal, you know. There's Ryan Gosling is supposed to be in a movie based on his biography coming out later this year, and so that ought to be pretty good. But the man did everything, you know, and was a true hero, and yeah, just really, really great. So that's gonna be it for today's show. Let me know what you think. What do you think the coolest Armstrong fact you heard is? Let us know on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever. Just look for The Night Nerd, or even comment here on SoundCloud. That's another good way to get a hold of us. Also, email nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. We'd love to hear from you. And hit that little subscribe button. That way you get DC Animated Adventures and Blah Blah Comics Blah Blah Curse Words. But that's going to do it for today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.